Live from our nation's capital, it's the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Good afternoon, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop from Washington. I am your host, Mark Levine. Happy Alabama Day, everybody.
Hallelujah.
Did you watch the returns last night? How could you not? And they were dramatic. They were neck and neck. It was close. But Democrat Doug Jones was just elected last night, of course, as the new senator from Alabama. And we're talking about a new day. We're talking about America reborn. Roll Crimson Tide. Not to belabor the obvious, but Alabama is and was one of the most conservative states in the United States. And Roy Moore was a uniquely awful human being and candidate. And it probably required all of that to win in Alabama. Roy Moore not only, before we found out that he liked to sexually assault teenagers, this was a guy who wanted homosexuality to be illegal. He wanted to round up gay people and throw us in jail. This is a guy who said that the best time in America was in slavery times. Not really good for getting the black vote. This is a guy who said there should be a religious test to serve in government. And he felt that Muslims should have no right to serve in government. That, of course, would violate the religious test clause in the United States Constitution. But this is not a guy who respected the Constitution either. Let's recall he is removed from the Alabama Supreme Court twice. Twice. Once when he refused to take down the however many ton Ten Commandments that he installed outside his courthouse, which was a violation of the First Amendment, the separation of church and state. The Supreme Court ordered him, the U.S. Supreme Court, ordered him as Chief Justice of the Alabama Supreme Court to remove the monument, and he said, no, I don't have to obey you just because you're a higher court issuing me an order to a lower court. Well, in the military, if you disobey a direct order from a commander, that can get you in the brig. In the court system, it just gets you kicked off. He got kicked off the court. Alabama elects its Supreme Court justices. First mistake. He got elected again on the court, and this time he refused the United States Supreme Court mandate requiring states to let any two adults, consenting adults, not blood related, get married. He did not believe that gay people should have the right to get married. He felt that marriage should be applied unequally and only to heterosexuals. Guess he didn't think gay Americans were citizens enough. Didn't think that we enjoyed equal protection under the law. He wanted to use the full power of the state to discriminate against us. The United States Supreme Court said, you can't do that. And they ordered him to allow the marriages in Alabama. He still refused, was thrown off the court. And folks, that was before the recent election. Now, he's also continues to be a birther. You don't hear too many people saying that. You don't even hear Donald Trump saying that anymore. He continues to insist Barack Obama was born in Kenya. And even that was not enough, I don't think, for Alabama. His opponent, of course, is Doug Jones, a prosecutor, a really good prosecutor, frankly, a prosecutor that prosecuted church bombings by the KKK. Really a brave thing to do in Alabama. So not just an ordinary prosecutor. No one gave Doug Jones a shot. And then the Washington Post printed four very credible, very disturbing accounts by four women, all Trump voters, who did not know each other, and no, Alabamians were not paid for this, telling the story of how Roy Moore would prey on very young girls, on 14-year-old girls, on those that were in trouble, those that were in waiting for custody decisions at the courthouse. And this guy's an assistant DA, so he's a pretty powerful person, telling them he'd drive them home. I mean, surely you're going to trust a DA and then pulling them over into the woods and forcibly trying to get them to do sexual things with him. He denied knowing them all. He said it's all, well, he didn't use these words, but kind of reminded me of what Clarence Thomas said. It was all a high-tech lynching. You may recall that Clarence Thomas was also accused by not just Anita Hill, but several women, and just denied it outright. Of course, these weren't women. These were girls, which made it even more gross when woman 5, and then 6, and then 7, and then 8, and then 9 came forward on the record, not anonymously. Some were 14, some were 16, some were 17. In fact, the fact that the stories were all a little bit different suggests that they're true, right? They're not identical stories. And very, very troubling stories. And then Roy Moore admitted it, right? He went on Sean Hannity's show, and Sean Hannity said, "You didn't date girls who were 14, did you?" And he said, "Well, not generally. Not generally. Not generally. You didn't date them every day?" And he did say that he asked their mama's permission out first. Tip, if you have to ask the mama's permission, you probably shouldn't be dating them when you're 30-something years old. These are things he admitted to, folks, before he later on denied everything, before we saw the yearbook postings, before we heard that he was prohibited from the mall, before we knew that people in his own office knew he had a problem with young teenage girls. And still, it looked like he might win. And a few, not enough, but a few brave Republicans, including Richard Shelby, conservative Republican from Alabama, used to be a Democrat way back in the days, 25 years ago, when Democrats were the conservative party, when Democrats were the racist party. Switched parties to be Republican. But even he said he couldn't vote for Roy Moore. He wrote in his vote. And what happened last night, of course, was Republican turnout was what you might expect, maybe even a little elevated. But Democratic turnout, particularly African-American turnout, was through the roof. 92% of the people that voted for Hillary Clinton in Alabama came out in a special election, not a midterm election, not an off-year election, not like we in Virginia had one on November, you know, of an odd year, but December 12th. They came out in a special election. Special elections draw 5, 10% of voters. Usually this was 40%. Alabama showed the nation what we in Virginia started teaching the nation, that we in America, the vast majority of us, were there, we're angry, we don't like what Donald Trump is doing, we don't like this racist, homophobic, anti-Muslim, misogynist attacks on women, we don't like this hatred, we don't like this tax scam bill that's taking all the money from the poor and middle class and giving it to people who have corporate jets and golf courses. We're angry. And there's a whole bunch of voters, and it's not me. Look, I've voted in every election since I was 18 years old. And many of you listening to me may be just like me. You vote in every election. But there are lots of people out there who don't. There are lots of people out there who are busy raising their families, doing their jobs, and they vote in presidential years and not usually at other times. We have a secret army. We Democrats have a secret army, and if we work hard and we go door to door, we can even bring them out in Alabama. Now, I'm going to be the first to concede. Roy Moore was a uniquely horrible human being, is still a uniquely horrible human being, and a uniquely awful candidate. Even apart from the child molesting, he was a horrible, awful candidate. But, you know, you heard my show 2 days ago. I didn't know who was going to win. I always felt Doug Jones had a chance. I said that 2 days ago. But I wasn't predicting he'd win. I didn't know. Who could know? I did know this, though. I knew that Alabama, last night, would decide its own future. And I'm not talking about Doug Jones, and he's probably only going to serve 3 years, and you know, I doubt he'll survive election 2020. Hope he does. This was more about Alabama, the South, our future. And, you know, I'm a Southerner. I come from Nashville, Tennessee, so I feel it myself. Though, admittedly, Alabama and Mississippi are, well, more conservative than Tennessee. But I knew that if Alabama elected Roy Moore, for decades, Alabama would be the laughingstock of America. If Alabama had elected Roy Moore, then every time someone said that people from Alabama were backwards and hicks and ignorant and prejudiced and racist and liked to molest children, who could say no? I mean, that's how Alabama would have been seen by the rest of the United States for the next several decades. But to the credit of the people of Alabama, to the credit of the large African-American community, 25%, that came out in droves, to the credit of the white folks in the suburbs, including Republicans, who could not pull the lever for this disgusting human being. The activists, the people who helped on the ground, to Doug Jones himself with his incredible history of prosecuting some really deadly people that, well, a lot of people are afraid to prosecute in Alabama. As an American, we can all sit back and be comforted by what happened in Alabama last night. Jeff Flake, who I guarantee you I disagree with on the tax bill, but who gave a $100 contribution, symbolic contribution to Doug Jones. We can reclaim this country. America can be reborn. We could still have disagreements between Democrats and Republicans. I'm going to talk later on about this horrible tax bill that's still going to come forward that is terrible and why it's so awful. But as much as liberals and conservatives disagree on taxes and Medicare and helping children and all those things, and I'm going to go there, second half of the hour, it's nice to know there are still some things beyond the pale. That even in Alabama, sexually assaulting a 14-year-old girl is disapproved of, at least by the majority of Alabamians. It's scary, yes, that 48% voted for him, but the majority did not. And sometimes I feel the same way about the country. As scary as it is that 46% voted for Donald Trump, the majority did not. The majority of America never supported Donald Trump. And two-thirds of us now reject him. There's always this talk about the 32% of Americans that the Trumpists, and how hard it is to understand them and what their pathology is and why they believe this raving con artist, incompetent, narcissistic monster. And we'll, I'm sure, talk about them in the future. But last night reminds us that we shouldn't spend all our time on those 32%. We should remember the 68%. We should remember the two-thirds of Americans that reject Trumpism, that reject dictatorship, that reject this narcissistic bullying, that accept there's a difference between truth and lies. And I'm including, by the way, in the 68%, in the two-thirds, one-quarter of the Trump voters. I believe in redemption. Welcome home. Of the 46% who voted for Trump, 14% have already deserted him. All right? I want you to think about that. That's almost a third of Trump voters have already deserted him. If we get 15 1/3%, if it goes down to 30-31%, one-third of Donald Trump's voters will have already deserted him and joined the majority of Americans that rejected him from the get-go. So let's throw out these notions of despair. 2 days ago, I said hope and despair. Despair, you're out the window. It's all hope now. Not complacency. We got a lot of hard work going into 2018. But we have turned the corner. America was reborn last night. It's Mark Levine. Take your calls at 888-48-MARK, 888-48-6275. Right back after this.
He's a Bible-quoting, Constitution-loving, flag-waving, red-blooded, liberal American. He's Mark Levin. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. And now, the voice of reason in an unreasonable world, Mark Levin.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levin. Still a little high after the great victory last night in Alabama. But we should never be complacent. Frankly, if there's anything the 2016 election should have taught us, is we should never be complacent. A lot of us thought Hillary was certainly going to win, and we didn't look, and, you know, tragedy happened. If anything, the results in Alabama, like the results in Virginia, show that we only win after tremendous hard work. We never win by sitting back. We never win by just letting the return slide. We did fantastic in Virginia because we went over the mat. We went over the line. We didn't just get the governors in there by 1%. By getting him in by 9%, we carried in a whole host of new delegates to join me in the Virginia House of Delegates. So close that we're this close to majority in Virginia. Alabama, it took every effort. It took every activist. It took every bit of money. It took every door knocking. It took all of the African-American vote and white liberal vote. And even, yes, even some Republicans who couldn't stomach Roy Moore vote. It took all of them together to make this happen. So there's no time to relax, friends. You can relax on Christmas. Tomorrow, yes, tomorrow, the FCC is deciding to get rid of net neutrality. They're deciding to take this wonderful internet that was built by the government. God, people really hate the government. They built the internet, folks. Can we get a little credit here? Thank you, Al Gore and others, many others. But hey, they're going to try to take the internet and give it over to corporations. Allow them to discriminate. Allow them to do viewpoint content discrimination. Why would anyone oppose net neutrality? 79% of Republicans support net neutrality. Why would anyone say, oh, you're making a phone call? I'm sorry. We don't let you call that person. And that's just tomorrow. Next week, this tax bill is coming back. The tax bill that takes money from college students, that takes money from hardworking middle-class people, that takes from Medicare, takes from Social Security, and ends those and takes 13 million people off health care just so corporate jet owners get a special tax break. Not just them. If you own a golf course, you get a special tax break as well. And you know who really makes off like bandits? If you're a Saudi prince and you invest in the United States, foreign investors are going to make billions off this bill. So your kid doesn't need to go to college. Your kid doesn't need that surgery. Let Tiny Tim be a cripple for the rest of his life. A prince of Saudi Arabia needs a tax cut. That's what our Republican Party's all about. That's why we have to get right back to work starting today. Right back after this.
Back to the aggressive progressive, Mark Levin.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levin. Well, it's a glorious day. It's a day I wasn't sure was going to happen. I have to admit, you know, Virginia, I had some control over it. I felt like we were going to do all right. Did not think we'd do as well as we did, I must admit. But Alabama, I wasn't sure people would come through, even with this awful candidate, and they did. And way to go, Alabama. Way to go, Alabama. You have transformed yourself. You could have become the laughingstock of America, and instead you showed that there are some things beyond the pale, even in Alabama. So congratulations to Alabama. We still have a lot of fighting to do. As I mentioned, the FCC is going to kill net neutrality tomorrow. You should call your member of Congress, 202-224-3121, 202-224-3121. Tell them you believe in a free and open internet. 80% of Republicans, I think it's 79% of Republicans, support this. 80 to 85% of independents and more than 90% of Democrats. The vast majority of all of us believe in a free and open internet. Call your member of Congress, and you can also go to battleforthenet.com and tell members of Congress to pass a resolution of disapproval that will kill the FCC bill. And we also got the tax stuff next week. I'll get to that in just a minute, but hey, we can allow for a little time for Alabama celebration. Michael, line three from the Bronx, has been holding on. He's, of course, Old Faithful, one of my most frequent callers. Michael, congratulations to all of us.
Absolutely. And excuse the way I sound. The weather affected me.
But was it screaming at the returns last night? That wasn't what it was, Michael?
No, my voice was bad before that.
Okay.
I didn't have much to scream.
Okay.
But aside from my voice, I'm having my James Brown moment. I feel good. Da, 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 da.
Yeah, don't. I wouldn't want you to sing him when you weren't hoarse, Michael, but don't sing.
I know. But I'm making this kind of like a musical trivia call, because from what I saw yesterday in Alabama, and going back to what you said about Virginia, I think the key theme for us is a song called Optimistic from Sounds of Blackness. And the words go, as long as you keep your head to the sky, you can win. Be optimistic.
Gotcha. So, Thank you for sharing that, Michael. I appreciate that. I'll tell you, it is a new day. And, you know, it's interesting how often politics can still surprise us. I think most of us, and I admit it, I was pretty confident that Hillary Clinton was going to win in 2016. I was wrong. I like to think I wasn't complacent, but perhaps my confidence led to complacency. Conversely, I was nervous in Virginia. I thought we'd win, but I was still nervous, and we left it all. We worked hard. We left nothing on the field, as they say. We spent every penny. I personally knocked on door after door after door. I know that between us, among us Virginians, we knocked on millions of doors, and we won a tremendous victory. We left nothing on the field. I know this. I know the Republicans in Virginia actually did not spend more than $1 million because they were so sure they didn't need to spend it and wanted to save their money. And many of those are sitting there out of job with $1 million in their delegate banks. I guess they'll give it in 2019. Alabamians left nothing on the field. People went door to door. The black vote in Alabama was as large as it was for Barack Obama. It was larger, actually, than it was for President Obama in 2012. Almost rival 2008 levels. In a special election, that shows organization, that shows caring, that shows dedication. That's why I thought, I even made a bet on it. I thought there was always a shot that Doug Jones had to win, because I know there's this untapped energy out there. I know there's anger. I know there are people that recognize that we have a buffoon as a president, but worse than a buffoon. He's not just incompetent. He is corrupt. He's narcissistic. He's treasonous with regard to Russia. And there's a lot of anger out there. We are the majority. And I hate to say it, but we can make America good again. Because we were never perfect. But the time before Donald Trump was a time when at least America was reaching out to those who are least among us, to those who are suffering, whether it be out of poverty, whether it be out of racial discrimination, whether it be because they're transgender and they're mistreated, whether they're women who are sexually harassed, whether they're mistreated on the basis of religion, or whether they're immigrants who are trying to make a new life here in America. At heart, we are always best in America when we reach out to everyone. And that's why this tax bill is so atrocious. It's interesting. Not even Republicans trust this tax bill. Some 30% of Americans support it, and that support has been steadily going down. And the more people find out what's in it, the less they like it. The only reason 30% like it is because, well, they haven't read it. And they support Trump. Remember, 32% support Trump. But when have you ever heard of a tax bill that's supposed to be a tax cut that two-thirds of Americans solidly reject. Because we know what this bill is about. This bill raises taxes on most Americans. Let me repeat that. This bill raises taxes on the majority of Americans. And it's tricky. I admit it's tricky. It lowers them for a few people for a couple years and then raises it on the back end. You know those things, right? They're like, hey, you get 10 records for one penny. And then, but you must buy 38 other records at $27.95 each for the next. Yeah, right? I mean, it's all in the small print. This bill is a giveaway to very, very rich people. I'm not even talking about millionaires. Millionaires, pshaw. How many millionaires own a corporate jet? How many own a golf course? And a golf course? Who do I know that owns a golf course? Why a golf course? Why not a racetrack? Why not a Rolls-Royce making facility? Why not a, I don't know, a Swiss mountain chalet? I wonder who owns a golf course. I can't think of anyone. I think a number of them went bankrupt. This is a bill to give billions of dollars to Donald Trump. And Trump Jr. and Eric Trump and Ivanka Trump. The estate tax alone will give the Trump family billions of dollars. And the only reason we don't know how much is because the bastard won't disclose his tax return and let us know how much. But I've done the math for the Koch brothers. The Koch brothers will get $40 billion from this bill. $40 billion. So these are people who have already spent in 2016 $1 billion trying to influence our government. Ever since the death of McCain-Feingold, the death of any kind of restrictions on money in politics, which I would think Republicans would oppose, well, maybe not Republicans, but good government people, people who believe in honest government, would not want two brothers to own the president. They gave $1 billion in 2016. That's not much when you have $100 billion between them. It's 1% of your total assets. Well, they're going to get $40 billion, $20 billion each, from this bill. And where's it coming from? It's coming from the kindergarten teacher who makes $30,000 a year, who used to get a tiny tax relief when she bought her own supplies for the kids in kindergarten. Because knowing that property taxes were insufficient in her small town to afford to have crayons for kids in kindergarten, the teacher bought her own school supplies on her own dime. And now she's got to pay some tax on it. It comes from kids going to college. Going to college, what? The American dream. Middle-class kids paying through the nose for student loans. There are some graduate students that under this tax bill, people who made $30,000, $40,000 a year, who used to pay $3,000 in taxes, that will now pay $13,000 in taxes. You know, if you make $30,000, $40,000 a year, your take-home pay is probably $20,000, $25,000, and now it's gonna your taxes go up from $3,000 to $13,000. How are you going to afford rent? How are you going to afford food? Is the goal to make you drop out of college? Is that the goal? To force you on public assistance? And speaking of public assistance, Social Security, Medicare, I thought these were the third rails of American politics. Paul Ryan has already said he's itching. As soon as he takes these trillions of dollars and puts them on the national credit card, he's going to pay for it not from the corporate jet owners who got all the money, but from you. You on Medicare, you on Medicaid, you on disability, you on Social Security, you who has a student loan, you who are trying to put away money for your kids. Why should you have to pay more taxes so that Eric Trump can have more gold toilet seats? Why should tens of millions of American children be denied health care right now under a bipartisan program supported by more than two-thirds of Congress, Republicans and Democrats, the Children's Health Insurance Program, which is ending. I know Republicans love embryos. I get it. Every sperm and egg is sacred. I understand. They don't care whether the kid's been born or not. If it's an embryo, put the woman in jail. Hell, execute her, right? She's committed murder. I get it. You hate abortions. But when will Republicans care about life? About children? About a child who has 6 years old, has leukemia, treatable leukemia? Why would you let her die? Why would you take away Tiny Tim's crutches? Why would too many of you, including the Republican National Committee, support a man who sexually assaults a 14-year-old? Life is more than embryos. Life is more than sperms and eggs. Life is about real people struggling, trying to make a living. I just wish the Republican Party would be a little more pro-life. Toll-free number is 888-48-MARK, 888-48-6275. We'll be right back right after this.
Never confuse Mark Levin with right-winger Mark Levin. The second E stands for empathy, which the other Mark lacks. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. And now, the voice of reason in an unreasonable world, Mark Levin.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levin. Tristan Shields, who actually ran for the House of Delegates, and one day I hope will run again and prevail, asked the question about how was turnout in the rural areas of Alabama? Did the votes just come from the city? And the answer is they did not. It depends, though, which area of rural Alabama. So if you've looked at a map of Alabama, there's the north part, there's the city. There's four places. There's the north part, north central Alabama. There are the cities, Birmingham, Montgomery, Mobile, Huntsville. And then the southern part, and then there's what's called the Black Belt. If you look at a map of Alabama, particularly if you look at a political map, you'll see red on top, red on bottom, and a nice blue belt across the center. And that blue belt is the Black Belt, called for two reasons. Originally called because the soil was so rich, it was actually black. Because the soil was so rich, a lot of slave owners went down and had their plantations in the Black Belt, and they owned lots of slaves. And to this day, the Black Belt is not just full of rich soil, but it's full of black people, descendants of the slaves of those slave owners. So the central belt of Alabama is where most rural African Americans live, and some 26% of Alabama is black, the second largest black population, I believe, in the country after Mississippi. In any case, the rural black vote turned out, Tristan. They turned out in large numbers, particularly large for a special election. They came close to or even exceeded 40% turnout, which may sound small, but that's a heck of a lot when you think about the fact that it's not a presidential race. Indeed, overall, the people who voted for Donald Trump in 2016 Alabama, less than half of them, 49%, turned out to vote for Roy Moore. The people who voted for Hillary Clinton, 92% of that number came out to support Doug Jones, which is why there was a squeaker race. Now, no doubt some Republicans who voted for Trump switched over to vote for Doug Jones in horror at who Roy Moore was. But the point is, rural blacks got out. And that's because Democrats and the African American community did a terrific job in getting them out. And that's also because of the nature of these two people, right? It's not just that Roy Moore sexually assaulted little girls. Right? He said that slavery was the best time in America against Doug Jones, who actually prosecuted KKK members who bombed a black church. So, you know, it's not just morality about sexual molestation. It's not just morality, you know, if you're a woman and don't want to be abused. It's not just if you're gay and don't want someone like Roy Moore, who would round up and imprison gay people. For blacks, there was a real existential crisis as well. This is a man who, in effect, was advocating for slavery. He was saying that slavery was a great time in America. Who says that in 2017? Against someone who had shown through his actions and not just his words that he was going to go out and fight racism. So yeah, rural blacks came out, and God bless them. If they hadn't, Doug Jones wouldn't have won. I mean, the black vote was not this substantial for Hillary Clinton. And you don't really want to blame the black vote, because the black vote was artificially, well, I don't know about artificially, but it was inflated when Obama ran for president for understandable reasons and went back to, I guess, normal levels, the same levels as white people in 2016. But yeah, for Democrats to win, we need increased African-American turnout. And what's interesting is that Alabama tried really, really hard to keep blacks from voting. They did everything they could short of reinstating Jim Crow laws that would be struck down by the U.S. Supreme Court. They got rid of the Voting Rights Act, and then they put forward all these plans to take blacks off the voting rolls. They removed more than 100,000 black voters from the voting rolls, and they did it through an ID that required you to go out of your way and to spend money and to make it really, really hard. I think that's a poll tax, by the way. I think it's unconstitutional. They made it really hard to get IDs. They really tried to suppress the black vote. And to the credit of the African-American Alabamian community, the African-American Alabamian, that's hard to say. To the credit of that community, the threats against their right to vote led more people to vote. And let that be a lesson. If you try to take away someone's right to vote, more people will turn out. So don't try it. The right to vote is as American as apple pie. Don't be messing with the right to vote. Now, Tristan, did white rural people show up? Not so much. Their voting was actually way down. And I think some of that has to do with Roy Moore. Some of it has to do with Donald Trump. Some of it has to do with maybe the fact that Donald Trump's tax bill isn't helping ordinary people. Rural America is suffering. Rural white America, rural black America, all of rural America is suffering. But we Democrats are providing answers. One of the bills I put forward in the Virginia House of Delegates was to give better broadband access. That's something that we should all agree on. Everyone needs the internet in 2017. Everyone needs highways and bridges, infrastructure. We have airports that are crumbling. One of the reasons Donald Trump won the election is because he talked about infrastructure. And Democrats said, we'll support you on infrastructure. And you would think if he wanted a victory, the first bill he put forward was not to end Obamacare, was not to give tax breaks to people who own corporate jets and golf courses and multinational corporations. It would be infrastructure. Want to spend $1 trillion on infrastructure? Democrats would have said, go. Give us better airports. Give us high-speed trains. Give us better highways. Give us better internet. Give us better sewers. Our infrastructure is falling apart. Isn't that one thing that we can join liberals and conservatives together on? And that bill to this day would easily get bipartisan support. It might get unanimous support. We all need infrastructure. Why didn't Donald Trump do that? It's an easy win. He wants to win. He likes to win. Why didn't he do that? Why does every single thing he does end up being a grab of America's resources and stuffing them in his pocket or someone else's pocket? We talked last week about the national parks, about our great natural resources, and how Trump was giving them away to private interests. Tomorrow, net neutrality, Donald Trump is giving away our internet to private interests. This tax bill, it's all about grabbing money, hardworking money, money earned by hardworking people, students in college, grabbing it and giving it to corporate interests, to very rich people. That's not the Donald Trump that ran for office. You want to know why his support's gone down from 46% to 32%? Because a third of even the Trumpists have realized he ain't looking out for them. He's looking to stuff his own fat pockets. And that's why, even in Alabama, people are starting to wake up. This is Mark Levin, only 3 shows for the rest of the year. Tune in on Monday.